Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
On a day where Doc Rivers has been fired, a guy I'm never going to fire. He may want to fire me, but that is Neil Kulong. Sir, welcome.
We are joined forever. There will be no Sixers and Doc Rivers situation going on, though I'm kind of confused about myself.
Oh, no, that's just a case of management. That's just a case of management saying, look, everybody, we did something. Okay, yeah, good for you.
Yeah.
You didn't solve the problem.
There are only so many moves he can make, right? I laughed at this. I put it out into social media just to kind of be a troll and see what people would react to. But advancing your team to the playoffs and not winning a championship game gets certain NFL coaches all kinds of job security.
Oh, my goodness,
people
yes.
People noticed that, but it's, you know, I don't agree with that. I just think it's funny that, you know, you get sick of not winning championships in the NBA. It might not necessarily be the same in the NFL.
No, it does not. The last we talked, they had not put out the schedule yet. They did put out the schedule. I think leaked like all of it except for two games. But they put it out on Thursday. What did you think of them? Let's start with the Steelers. What did you think of their schedule in terms of the order of it?
It's different. You know, I was thinking way back in the day when we would go over the schedule this time of the year, probably a little bit earlier. And it was like, you know, they've opened on the road 2-3 years in a row now, 4 years in a row now. We got used to it. Like, two generations have gone by since they played week one at home. That streak was just kind of more nostalgic to me than anything else, I guess.
Yeah.
But otherwise, it's schedule, you know. We knew who they were going to play. There are always tough stretches. Every team has a tough stretch of opponents because, well, there are a lot of good teams in the NFL. There are a lot of teams that are similar to yours, good and bad. I think ending a season, the last two on the road, the last one being at Baltimore, is noteworthy, but I'm not sure it will really matter in the grand scheme of things, because if anything, what we've seen from the Steelers the last couple of years is it's the early season that costs them, not the end. So,
right.
It's the type of schedule you would have expected them to have back in February when you knew who the opponents were.
Mm-hmm.
We are basing all of the strength of the opponent on what we knew of them last year. We don't know who they're going to be in September. We have a sense of that, but we don't know. We never do. I think one thing that's as close to a sure thing in the NFL as we can get is that Kansas City is going to be a pretty good team. Kansas City's not on their schedule, so right there, that's a bonus. I think they have a very competitive division. I think they will battle to three wins within that division. I wouldn't be surprised if only one team has four wins. You know, it's a tough set of games. They're all pretty close to each other, and I think they all got better in some way. So, again, they'll battle the way that they do there, and you hope that, you know, one or two games can flip their way sort of the way that it did last year and certainly the year before, and they can come away, I think, you know, 10-7 is a reasonable expectation. And as you know, I have felt this team grossly outkicked its coverage the last 2 years for where I thought they would be at the beginning of the year. I think this year they've definitely put the right moves together, and I think they will take a step forward and be more consistent over 17 games. And the schedule is not a large component of that in my mind. I think they're playing NFL caliber teams. They're better than some of them. They're not better than others. They'll win some games they shouldn't, and they'll probably lose a few that they should win. But I think 10 wins is a realistic set of circumstances for what they have in front of them.
I read Steve Buckley's column today, and in the column now, of course, he covers the Patriots, and Christmas Eve this year is a Sunday. Well, it turns out that, quote, Sunday Night Football will be played at 8:15 Eastern Time, 6:15 in Denver, when the Patriots take on the Broncos. I know the NFL dominates anything, and they play whenever they want, Black Friday, three games on Christmas Day and so forth. Was there any – what did you think about having a Christmas Eve – I know people are going to watch it, so I know they'll watch it. But the thought of a Christmas Eve primetime game.
I think they would be wise to try not to saturate the life market. You know, there kind of comes a point.
I agree with you. I agree with you completely, Neil. I think that's what they're doing. Sometimes I think you've got to sacrifice a rating to do, like, hey, look, you know what? It's family time. You know, everybody in the NFL, including the Broncos and the Patriots, should be able to be home if you celebrate Christmas Eve.
I think you've got a triple header on Christmas Day.
you do. Yeah.
You've delved pretty deeply into that cave. You know, I'm not sure there are a whole lot of gems left to find. I don't, you know, that's me. That's my opinion. If you are looking at it strictly bottom line, yeah, here's a night that is largely unchecked and unchallenged in terms of ratings. In the United States. I think there's a reason for that, though, and I think that's probably what you should look at more than anything. You're right, though. Yes, people will watch it. To suggest everybody celebrates Christmas or Christmas Eve isn't accurate in the United States, and you can make the argument that there is a market of people out there that would like something like that for their own thing when other people are doing something else. I don't know if that's the NFL's place to bother. I don't think it's worth it. I'd have a tough time selling having to work Christmas Eve night and Christmas Day night. I prefer they didn't. Maybe I'm biased. My opinion might not be the best on the subject. I do agree, yes, people would watch it. If that is the only... if that's the only qualification within their philosophy... I think they need to re-examine that line of thinking. I don't think it's a good idea for a variety of reasons. They don't need it, I guess, more than anything else. They've taken every other holiday within that time period and made it their own. The NBA has had a stranglehold on Christmas Day for however long. The NFL is trying to fight to get that out now. The NFL has Thanksgiving already. They've taken over New Year's Eve and New Year's Day, largely from college nowadays. I don't know if they need Christmas Eve. That's just me.
Yeah, I agree with you. That's just me as well. And you know what? I'll end up watching the game anyway. All right? Because they usually like the Hawaii Bowls on. I usually watch like maybe a quarter and a half of that after everything settles down for the night. You're like, okay, it's like 10 o'clock at 9, 10 o'clock at night. It's like, okay. So I admit I'll be one of the culprits. You know, even though I'll be celebrating, I'll be one of the culprits. There's also going to be a playoff game on Peacock, which has lost, by the way, $700 million. Streaming is not the boom everybody thought it was going to be. And what is your thought of a wild card game on Peacock?
Honestly, I don't care. From a business perspective, I think it's one of those things they need to find out what the capabilities are. They need to iron out a process. That's no different than, you know, hey, I got an idea way back in the day. Let's put a game prime time Thanksgiving night. Also back in the day, let's see what prime time football would look like if we put it on TV. What if we played on Monday? What would happen? You need that sense of exploration with this. And when it comes to advancing to the next wave of technology, you've got to figure that out, and you're going to have to do it in real time. The fact that it's a playoff game, you know, I don't have the numbers in front of me. Refresh me. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't think wild card playoff games get substantially higher ratings than regular season games do. That's the thought.
No, they do not.
I think I read that somewhere.
They do not. The next round does.
Yeah,
the next round does, but not the opening round.
But the big thing with the NFL, I know this intimately in the line of work that I'm in. There is something to be said about the volume of work on a full slate of games versus there being 2-3 games. A lot of it is timing. When are they being played? I say this because I'm not afraid to say this publicly. The Super Bowl is the most overrated media event of the year, without question, of anything.
Mm-hmm.
It's one game. You have two fan bases only, and you have a bunch of people that casually watch it. Ratings go through the roof. People really don't care a whole lot about the game. Okay, when it comes down to it, as far as your traffic goes, as far as the audience that you can develop in a digital space, it's no different than Monday Night Football, except everybody watched the game. Yeah. So you don't generate more. Media companies freak out over it. They pour in tens upon tens of thousands of dollars into all this coverage. And at the end of the day, it's like you're missing the fact that this is a glorified party backdrop. It's not an active event. People don't really sit and watch the Super Bowl. Yes, there are a large amount of people that do. You know, people like you and me. We are into football. Right. We're going to break down the game.
Sure.
We enjoy that part of it. At the very least, we have work that we have to do with it, so we're going to pay attention to it. 140 million people watch the game. An overwhelming majority of those people don't care. It's not about that.
Right.
So the point that I'm making is you put it on streaming. You have to know what that technology can do, and I think they're choosing a playoff game symbolically to show that they're serious about it. When behind the curtain, the reality is they know that the ratings aren't really all that much bigger than a regular season game, if at all. They want to put it out in kind of a hype way and just suggest to advertisers, we're serious about this, so we're choosing a marquee game between two allegedly good teams in a win-or-go-home situation. That's a big deal to us. We're putting a lot of capital into this. I don't know how true that really is. I think it's kind of a good safety pick, and certainly a lot better than Week 18. Mm-hmm. I can see why they would want to do this the way that they are. But eventually they're going to need, not that they're not. The experiences I've seen streaming so far, to be honest, have been fine. I haven't really noticed a difference one or the other. It's fine to me.
No.
We'll see what they do with the Peacock iteration of it. But they're going to need to figure out how to get the widget from point A to point B as the technology increases to the point where they're probably going to do more of this. This is kind of laying the groundwork for the direction they want to go in. So it's inevitable. I'm not moved one way or another, I guess.
Yeah, they're going to trade eyeballs, because you'll lose some, for fresh cash, because this is a $110 million deal for Peacock to carry this. $110 million. So, and the NFL, if nothing, is a money tree. Last but not least, the third quarterback has been re-signed for the Steelers. That's Mason Rudolph.
I sincerely thought I was done with Mason Rudolph.
I know.
Fans.
I know.
He
did this to torture us.
I'm getting into a long back and forth with a couple people on Twitter about this. I don't really understand. From an average fan perspective, I get they're not going to think much about paying a player $1 million cash versus another player $300,000 in cash. They don't really care about the money involved. If you're Art Rooney, you care about that. It doesn't matter how much money you have. You're not ignoring $700,000. I don't understand what they'd be trying to get or what value they think is really going to come from putting another veteran onto the roster, and one that last year, though, paid much more than he's going to be paid now. What is he bringing by not dressing for games? Is he the most expensive assistant coach on the roster? I don't understand it. I will pose this, though, without any reporting. This is just an experience-based opinion. I wonder if the one rookie they brought in, you saw Tanner Morgan play. You remember when he was a freshman back in 2009 or whenever was.
Yeah.
You know he is at best physically Duck Hodges.
Yes.
He is not
no doubt.
A physical player.
No
I have connections with people who are around the Gophers program. They say the same thing about him. He's a great leader. He's a high character guy. He's yep. very smart. Nobody confuses him for a high-level NFL prospect.
No.
I don't think he even confuses himself for a high-level NFL prospect.
No, I think he's smart enough to know he's not.
You kind of thought, though, this is the type of guy. Look, you start for as long as he did in the Big Ten.
Yeah.
You're probably going to get a couple pro looks.
Sure.
Can he pick up as a backup? That's really what you're bringing him in to kind of figure out.
Mm-hmm.
I think they cut the cord pretty quickly because rookie minicamp's not really an evaluation. You know, they aren't really doing that. They're kind of showing him what to expect come minicamp, which team minicamp is what to expect come training camp. And are you in shape? I think Morgan got hurt. I'm just a guess. It makes a lot more sense to me logically that if Morgan got hurt, you need a quarterback to come in and conduct stuff for minicamp.
Right.
Here's Mason Rudolph. Now, it makes sense, both sides. We need somebody that knows what they're doing in these things, which is Rudolph. This is not at all a guarantee to make the team, but it also puts your name out into the world, showing people that you're still working, you're still active, you were in a camp, you're doing stuff, you're not sitting on the couch. I don't know if he lasts much longer than that, because financially, he costs considerably more money than an average, or below average player, an undrafted free agent player, that you can bring in and start to groom to be a backup. And I know that, one, because the Steelers usually do that. Last year was an anomaly, okay? They paid a lot of money to keep Trubisky and Rudolph on that roster. And there's reason for that. They didn't know what they had with Pickett yet. It's insurance. I get it. That makes sense. Paying two veteran backup quarterbacks, though, seems redundant from a business perspective. If 2019 happens again and your first two quarterbacks go down and you're stuck with Duck Hodges, yes, you'd probably rather have 2023 Mason Rudolph than 2019 Duck Hodges. But you cross that bridge when you get to it. Right now, they're 1,000 miles away from that bridge, and no reason to think that they're ever going to have to cross it. So why would you make decisions based on that today? Yeah. I don't see the logic in that. So I don't think he's going to last. I don't think he's going to be on the roster. I think this is just, you know, we have a need. You need to get out and throw the ball a bit. It gets your name out there a little bit. Let's do business together for you know, the next month or so. I would point to this. This is exactly what the Packers did with Blake Bortles when Aaron Rodgers couldn't be bothered to go to minicamp, and he wasn't sure if he was going to play and all that stuff. They brought Bortles in to run drills at camp. He got cut at the end of minicamp. They never expected to keep him on the roster, and they probably told him that. I hope that they told him that. Doesn't seem right to not tell him that. I think it seems more like that's what Rudolph's highest and best value is for the Steelers right now. He can be a backup quarterback in the NFL. Teams are going to see what they have with their younger players before they get into signing veteran backup quarterbacks. It happens all the time come training camp, come July. He would have more looks than just a third-string quarterback right now, and I don't think the Steelers will want to pay him. The minimum for his level of service is over $1 million. I don't think they'd want to pay him that to be a third-string quarterback.
Right.
That's just my opinion.
Reminds me of that line from the movie Apollo 13, where Jim Lovell, whom I've had the privilege of interviewing, looks at the other two astronauts who are arguing, and he says, look, there are 800 things that have to happen between now and then. We're up to number 7. Okay. So,
yeah. Exactly.
All right.
Not get too far ahead of ourselves. We don't need to worry about an emergency quarterback in May, okay? And if we do, it's to throw balls to the other undrafted free agents who aren't going to make that's really what it is. Just conduct a full camp.
My friend, great week. Look forward to talking next week.
Definitely. Thanks for having me, guys.